Message this morning is Matthew 1, verses 18 through 25, and we'll find it on the back of the worship leaflet today. Wanted to give us just a few sentences about the background and some of the things that were happening here in this very important passage. In Israel at that time, a betrothal was almost tantamount to being married. It was that important. I suppose that we might call a betrothal a version of an engagement, being engaged in our time. But it was important back in those days, a betrothal, almost, as we said, as important as marriage itself. Serious business. Often negotiation, literally, negotiation took place, and they kept in mind things such as land and livestock and money. Two families, as in today, two families would be joined and their assets together were seen as important. Can you imagine that? And once the pledge was made, once the betrothal pledge was made, it was very, very difficult to break it, difficult to call it off and get out of a betrothal, that powerful engagement many, many years ago. And it brought shame, it brought embarrassment to both families if somehow a betrothal was ever broken. So here we have it, Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want her to expose her to public disgrace, so he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home to be his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Someone has collected a list of nearly fatal things to say to your wife who is with child. Nearly fatal things to say to your wife who is with child. I'll list six of them for the benefit of expecting parents in our congregation. Number six, "Honey, I just ate that last Oreo cookie." Number five, "You know, looking at her, you'd never guess that Kelly Ripa had three children." Number four, "Well, couldn't they induce labor? Your due date's the same day as the Super Bowl." Number three, "I'm jealous. Why can't a man experience the joy of childbirth?" These are bad, aren't they? Number two, "Excuse me," I'm sorry, I just gotta like this one. Number two, "Excuse me, but are your ankles supposed to look like that?" And the number one fatal thing to say to your wife who is with child, "Never in a million years would you hit me with that 9-iron. Let's look for a few minutes at the Christmas story as told by Matthew. Passage unmatched in its beauty, power, and holy mystery. Christmas is, first of all, a young couple who experience the miraculous in their life. They are face up with a miracle of God. Mary is expecting a child conceived by God's Spirit, And in the Old Testament, we read from Isaiah, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. Now, throughout the centuries of the Christian faith, some have always wanted to debate and squabble about the virgin birth. And yet, how many of us have seen some miracles in our lives? My cousin Kathy and her husband Tom were a loving, committed young couple, and they were also sad and disappointed. They were not able to have any children. They had gone through all the medical exams and procedures and tasks and consultations. Over a few years, Tom and Kathy had spent thousands of dollars pursuing their search for parenthood, but nothing helped. Medically speaking, they were told it would be impossible for them to have any children. Well, with the help of a Christian adoption agency, which was headquartered in Springfield, Missouri, I remember at that time, Kathy and Tom were successful in adopting their daughter, Brooke. They had a lot of love to give, and Brooke was a very blessed little girl to receive all that care and affection. But then Molly came along, and Brooke had to share. By the way, Molly did not happen to be adopted. Tom and Kathy, the medically impossible couple, brought her into the world themselves in the usual biological way. Brooke and Molly were destined, I think, to be a part of that family. And in a much, much greater cosmic sense, Mary and Joseph had a son who was destined to be here too. And they named him Jesus, just as Joseph was told in a dream. Christmas, in part, is the story of a young couple who were face up with a miracle of the Lord God. And this holiday time is also an account of love and trust. Love and trust. Joseph was surprised to learn of Mary's condition. Shocked, I think, would be more accurate. At first, understandably, he had thoughts about going ahead with their marriage or not. But how could he put Mary through something like that? How could he expose her to make her vulnerable and put her up for public shame? And perhaps it wasn't unheard of, vulnerable to an act of horrible violence in that day and age. Who knows what would have happened? He loved her, though. That's the point. He loved her too much to do that. And he made up his mind to separate from her quietly. Joseph's emotions remind me of something that happened to Mark Maurer of Hilton Head, South Carolina. And for some reason, Mark was in the doghouse with his wife, and he wanted to make things right and make amends, so he ordered her some flowers and told the florist that the card should read, "I'm sorry, comma, I love you." Unfortunately, his instructions must not have been clear enough. When the flowers arrived, there was no comma, and the card read, "I'm sorry, I love you." Now, that is a good way to make a bad situation even worse, isn't it? But I wonder if that's at least a little of what Joseph felt at first. Sorry that he loved Mary. It might have been too much in the beginning anyway, too much to expect him to believe. The child was somehow conceived by the Holy Spirit. But something happened that transformed Joseph's whole outlook. And in a dream, an angel appeared to him and confirmed what Mary had told him. The dream confirmed what Mary had been trying to tell him. And that's all Joseph needed, a dream. My guess is that he loved Mary very, very much. And he trusted her. He also was a trusted, active Jewish person who believed in the Lord God of Israel. You see, genuine love, real love, and trust go hand in hand. We've been talking about Mary and Joseph, but there are other relationships that involve real love and trust. A dear friendship. brothers and sisters, even in adulthood, parents and sons and daughters, of course, grandchildren and their grandparents, business partners, longtime neighbors. Love will hope for trust, and trust will strive to honor the one it loves. And how blessed you are if you have someone in your life you can count on, who has your best interest at heart. Joseph and Mary had that blessing straight from the heart of God. Back in the early 1960s, when John Kennedy was president, the Cuban Missile Crisis came close to forcing out all of our most important leaders to what they call DC-2. DC-2 was a huge reinforced cavern that they built into a Virginia mountainside, and they believed that it was going to be bomb-proof, capable of surviving a nuclear attack. So the FBI handed out special passes to all of our main leaders, passes to enter DC-2 if need be. Supreme Court Chief Justice Earl Warren was given his pass. He looked at it for a moment, and then he asked, "Well, this is mine. Where's the other one for my wife?" The FBI agent stammered as he explained, "Well, sir, I'm afraid that spouses will not be allowed in there." Calmly, Justice Warren handed the pass back to the young agent and said, "Then I will certainly not be there either." Justice Warren was not going anywhere without that person whom he loved and trusted. The same for Mary and Joseph. Christmas is the celebration of God's miraculous touch in the life of a young couple. It also honors beautiful, caring, faithful love between two people. The Lord is very near wherever real love and mutual trust are found, among friends, among family members, colleagues, spouses. But more important than either of these, Christmas is the entrance of God into these human lives of ours. All this took place, says Matthew's gospel, to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And this is one of the most amazing claims that we will ever hear this side of heaven. The Son of God himself left the glories of heaven's halls, put it all aside in order to come to earth vulnerable, small, and shivering as a little baby boy whose mommy and daddy were Jewish peasants. Will you let me mention another president this morning? Now, I think all of these are Democrats, and don't get any ideas, yay or nay, hither or whither, about my politics. It just so happens. Of course, the reason people loved Franklin Roosevelt so much was his willingness to mix and mingle with the common people. He enjoyed the warm spring-fed baths in Georgia. What's the name of that place in Georgia? Warm Springs. That's logical then, isn't it? He was one of the first to practice water size, or is it called aqua size, intentionally moving and exercising in the warm water. Some of you do that at our wonderful YMCA too, I know. President Roosevelt thought it helped his polio. But those Georgia spring-fed waters were not only for the wealthy and powerful, because farmers and homemakers and ranchers and teachers, clerks and welders, anybody and everyone went into that warm water for therapy. Men, women, children, the elderly, most of whom, like Roosevelt, were suffering from the effects of polio. And the president went right in with them, joking, talking, listening, encouraging each one of them to keep at it and keep their spirits up. No wonder wartime America loved him. But that compares just a little to what happened when Christ was born. Someone, capital S, someone, hugely, cosmically, eternally important, with a capital I, got into the pool with us, so to speak, and related to all people, high and low and in the middle. And Jesus came to earth not with earthquakes, skyrockets, or thunderbolts, no, but in the gentle love of a conscientious young mother who placed him sleeping in a feed trough among sheep and cattle. Pastor Cliff Stewart is a Presbyterian minister in South Carolina, and in his ministry, he enjoys using technology to the hilt in any way he can. And over the years, he's become fairly good at it. Last Christmas, Pastor Stewart surprised his parents in Louisville, Kentucky, by sending them a package about the size of a briefcase, and excitingly his parents in Kentucky unwrapped it, and they pulled out a state-of-the-art laptop computer of their very own. Now, Reverend Stewart's mom and dad would join the electronic age. His parents got to work right away and got it all situated and plugged in. But after that, they were stumped. They could not make it work. Smiles turned to frowns when even the reading the instruction book didn't help. They couldn't get to the monitor to work correctly, let alone much anything else. And after more than 2 hours of messing around with the instruction book, Mrs. Stewart turned to her husband and said, "This booklet isn't helping. What we really need is our son to be here to show us the way." Later, Pastor Stewart wrote, "When God sent the gift of salvation to all of us, God did not send a booklet. He sent his only begotten Son. The touch of miracles, the blessings of love and trust, and the entrance of Christ into these human lives of ours. No wonder the treats are almost made. The decorations are set and music is beginning to fill the air. It is the world's most beautiful love story. It's nearly Christmas and all the world yearns for the arrival of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen."